San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from La Valencia Hotel with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night and out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner. He is a strategic core member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable of San Diego, hard for me to say, a family office expert who advises several high net worth families, all around good guy. And welcome on this great Saturday night, not Sunday, as I said last week. Richard, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. It's Saturday all day long, and I guess I am the designated driver tonight because everybody else at the table is drinking.
We'll get into that in a second, though.
Okay. But
hey, I just want to congratulate Rick Bollinger, who it's been a 20 or 30 year odyssey for him to get the Spaceman of Ocean Beach production done. And last night there was actually two shows tonight, a reading of the screenplay that he's provided. And I'll tell you this. Do you remember the Spaceman of Ocean Beach?
I remember the Spaceman.
This guy, Clint Carey, back in the 60s, he arrived here, and apparently he hooked up this guy, Bob Oakes, who had these great jazz concerts in his home, and they'd play music all night long with some major jazz artists would show up. And
among drinking lots of quantities of all kinds of good stuff.
But anyway, the Spaceman got into producing some art, and black light art, and I'm telling you, apparently some of the pieces have gone from $100,000 to $200,000 from what I've heard. So it's just a fascinating thing. I hope it gets made into a film. And speaking of getting made into a film, congratulations to us, Richard. And it was great actually talking with Billie Jean King. We're going to have that interview for you on September 7th. And why is it going to be September 7th, Richard?
Because September 10th is a big date. Two things going on September 10th. During the day, you have to go to Amazon.com and buy my latest book called So What's Your Play? How Billie Jean, Bobby, and Blindness Begat Tolerance. So my latest book is coming out on September 10th. So please buy that on Amazon on that date. And then that evening, at least it's 8 o'clock in the evening.
Can they order it now, by the way?
Maybe you can order it now. It's on back order.
Yeah.
But we're trying to sell everything on September 10th so I can get on the bestseller list because they just count one day. But no, you can go on now and buy it now, and it's just on back order. Again, Richard Muzio on Amazon, spelled M-U-S-C-I-O. Mm-hmm. It's a book about 1973 and the women's liberation movement and a couple of famous tennis matches when I worked for Bobby Riggs, who was the antagonist against Margaret Court and Billie Jean King.
As a 14-year-old teenager.
14-year-old teenager, created scrapbooks over 2,500 pages with over 250 pages of hand-typed indices as a 14- and 15-year-old, documenting these two very famous tennis matches, which are now at the 40th anniversary.
And I don't think it's any exaggeration to say I think that match in the Astrodome in September 20 of 1973, I don't think there's been any kind of sporting event that's impacted society as big as that has.
No, there's no question there hasn't been. And this was at the height of the women's liberation.
I think the only other argument you could get is the Max Schmeling boxing matches against Joe Louis.
But Joe, people didn't go out and buy boxing gloves.
Right, we didn't have
this massive boxing revolution.
Right.
Like there was this massive tennis
revolution. Well, plus, and I'm saying in terms of numbers in the media, and they didn't have the big TV coverage like we do. Oh, now, and
90 million TV viewers for this thing.
It was 36.
Almost 31,000 live in the audience. But 36. Then at 8 o'clock at night on PBS, the Billie Jean King documentary,
Circle
American
your
Masters.
Calendars now, September 10th.
Joe and I did tons of research and were consultants on that project.
Actually, let's say that like it is, we were the catalyst for the day.
We were the catalyst for the day.
Exactly. It wouldn't be getting done if we didn't make some calls, but anyway.
Exactly, and we're the ones who found the footage of the Margaret Court Bobby Riggs match that was believed to have been lost 40 years ago. We found that in New York. The guy who owned it didn't even know.
Which is played in Ramona and on CBS television.
So on September 10th is a big day because everybody listening has to buy my book and then watch PBS. Two things to do on that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so in studio, we're live at La V. We're above La Sala Lounge here in our little makeshift studio, which is really pretty luxurious if you ask me. But we have with us right now the wine director for La Valencia Hotel, and her name is Tammy Wong, making her second appearance. So how are you tonight, Tammy?
Yay, I am fantastic. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
What are you guys drinking, Tammy?
Well, we have a 1999 CV, Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley. I'd like to highlight our deep, deep cellar. It goes back to 1976. We have verticals of George de la Tour and heights and all kinds of good stuff. But the reason that I brought this particular one today, other than Napa Cab being a strength of our wine list, is that we started a program called the Captain's List this week. So basically what we're doing is we're marking wines just over cost for your enjoyment in the restaurant, because I basically want to move it out so I can buy some new stuff. So if you like to drink wine, La Vie is the place for you. We're going to do this indefinitely until we get to the right place.
How many bottles would you say are in your inventory? Do you have any idea?
We have near 400 labels.
Wow.
So if you think,
multiple,
you know,
of 400.
Some of them, yes, exactly. If you think a case is 12 bottles, it's a sizable, a sizable
sale going on. So there's nothing left, or just for a certain period of time?
Well, until, we're going to narrow the list down a little bit and make it a little more focused. It's really all over the place right now. Obviously, we have a lot of visitors that come to San Diego, and they want to drink California wine. So my focus is highlighting the best of small production wines made with integrity on the West Coast. Oregon, Washington, and, of course, our lovely state of California.
And we compete internationally, right? Our wines are just as good as many around the world, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We don't have the history of, say, France or Greece, but we are competitive. We make delicious wine in every price point.
Wonderful. Tell the story about the couple who was here last night.
Oh, that was me. Yeah, this story is great. It's this really great couple. We're celebrating their 20th anniversary. They came here on their first date, and they spent the night. And
they spent the night on their first date?
Well,
that's too much information.
That's
anyway.
A little bit. They had been seeing each other, but it was the first time
just
they had,
to clarify.
You know, gotten together.
Got
but
it.
They found a 1976 Domaine Brisbar Vouvray Demi-Sec. On the list, and they thought it was a typo for sure. I mean, how can there be a white wine from 1976 that's still good? So they opened it, and it was spectacular. It was fantastic. And it was because Vouvray is Chenin Blanc from the Loire Valley in France, and because of its high acidity, and this particular one was a demi-sec, so it was a little sweet. It had the stuffing to last a really long time. And this wine was spectacular, and they were thrilled, and they were so great. And that's another thing about La Valencia, is that everywhere I go, everyone has a La Vie story.
They
you know?
Do.
Yeah, it's so
I
neat.
Do, but I can't repeat it.
Talk to the valets. They've got some great ones. Well, I was out there the other day just talking to the valets, telling me about some of the big names that come through here, and it's been going on since the 30s, I guess. But I've got to protect the privacy. But I'm telling you, folks, you never know who's going to be floating through.
You hang around here over a weekend, and you're guaranteed to see somebody you're going to recognize.
Yeah, that's terrific.
And I don't mean me and Joe, because nobody recognizes that.
So, and singing tonight down at La Sala Lounge is Annette Browning, I believe. Is that?
Yes, that is correct.
Boy, she sounded terrific. There's always some great live music going on here every night of the week, right?
Every night, 6 to 9 in the La Sala Lounge.
Yeah, so people out there, if you just want to come in and enjoy a glass of wine and see some beautiful scenery and hear some great music, there's no better place.
There's no better place.
Yeah.
There's not a better view in San Diego.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So let's see. Chef Daniel can't be here tonight because he's got some weddings and things going on, but tell us about the pig a little bit. You know much about that? I know your wine is your specialty. I heard this pig was, tell us where it was purchased and how send your scrap vegetables out to their farm, right? Tell me about
that. Yes, we save all our vegetable scraps and we send them off to Cook's Pig Farm in Ramona. I believe it's Ramona. It might be Julian. I think it's Ramona. And then they feed the pigs with it up until the last few months of their life, where they get just macadamia nuts. So it sweetens up the flesh. And then we buy the pig and we butcher it in-house. And our chefs make all kinds of cool stuff. They have They're making the forchetta right now, which is the tenderloin wrapped in the belly. It's spectacular. It's not ready yet. I cannot wait to taste it.
We've been waiting 2 weeks. When's it going to be ready?
I know.
Well,
is my forchetta?
Well, some of these other things he's making, he said they have to cure about a year before they're served. None of it's
We have a couple prosciuttos curing. We have some lomo. We did the pork chops, and that special sold out that night.
Ham or bacon on the horizon? I don't know.
It's all pork. It's all good to me.
Yeah, but anyway, Tabby, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think we'll take our first break right now. Dan, how's that sound? We'll come right back Dan, are you there? Okay. And then we'll be right back after more with more of It's Your Man and Your Life live from La Vie, so stay tuned. All right, we are back with another segment, This Your Money, Your Life, live from La Valencia. And we have a very special guest in-house with us tonight. Shall you introduce him or shall I, Richard?
I'll introduce him. That would be Mr. Jason Kruger from Signature Analytics. He's sitting there drinking wine when he's supposed to be doing a radio show. But Jason's a CPA that owns a very interesting accounting company. It's not a traditional CPA firm by any means, but we'll let him tell a little bit more about it. But Jason, my first question is, how is Quinn Elizabeth doing? You're a new daddy.
Quinn is doing very well. She's 7 months old now, almost 7 months. She will be, she's actually sleeping through the night. So we put her to bed at 8 o'clock every night, and we walk in her room at 7 in the morning. So we're very fortunate with that. But yeah, she's doing great.
And you had her out for dinner tonight, right?
We did. We were lucky enough. We actually came early. We ate dinner here at the La Valencia. And I actually happened to meet Tammy before I even knew she was on the show. took advantage of the captain's list that she mentioned. Fantastic wine she recommended. I'm going to butcher the name, so I'll just say it's a 1996 Red Burgundy.
Okay.
From France. And fantastic price, fantastic wine, great food. We had a good time.
And right by the window, looking out the ocean.
Yep, right by the window. Joe showed up as we were eating towards the end and made sure to introduce himself and met Quinn and my wife, Danielle.
Make sure you can find your way to the little studio here. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a great time.
Danielle, able to do any running now that she's had the baby, getting back into it or not?
She is, yeah. Sure. She's in. She's hasn't done any major marathons or half marathons lately, but she's definitely back into the running.
Cool.
It didn't, fortunately for her, it didn't take too long to get back into running shape.
Yeah, now that the baby's rolling over, you guys are going to be doing a lot of running because the baby will get stuck under coffee tables, under chairs. Yeah.
Do you have one of those cribs that you can jog with? I see a lot of mothers jogging with their babies.
Yep. Yeah, we have several different strollers, different models, right? But I do have to say one thing, actually. You know, I feel like you guys are making me look bad here. The first time I was on, I had to follow up Jim Lampley, who's much more famous than I am.
Right.
And then tonight I had to follow up, Tammy and her stories of wine and everything about wine. And so, you know, now we have to talk about accounting stuff. I'm not sure that our listeners are as excited about that type of...
it's always good to have a sip of wine before we get into financials, right, Richard?
Assuming our listeners have been drinking, accounting should be interesting. Otherwise, I'm not so sure.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, we can put them to sleep then.
Yeah, we can put them to sleep.
We'll make it fun and interesting like we always do.
They'll be asleep at 8 o'clock just like Quinn. But anyway.
Right.
doubt it.
But Jason, you're different as a CPA. Tell our listeners how you're different. Because most people, when you hear the word CPA, they think you sit around cranking out tax return.
Right. So I obviously have some exposure to tax work, but my background overall was on the financial statement audit side. Worked for a large public accounting, one of the big public accounting firms, Deloitte & Touche here in San Diego. Was there about, I had about 10 years of public accounting experience as a senior manager in audit, and got a fantastic idea in fall of 2008, right before the recession hit, that we were going to start Signature Analytics. And basically what we do is we provide outsourced accounting support for our clients. So we don't do any tax work. We work directly with our clients' tax advisors to make sure that they get the information that they need. And we act as the accounting function of our clients. We either act as the entire accounting function or we support the existing accounting function that they may have to make sure that they can close the books appropriately. Make sure they have accurate financial information on a consistent basis. Make sure that they're getting the financial information that they need to be able to talk to their other advisors, which would be their tax advisor, any investors that they have, their banking institutions, to really provide that support for our clients.
But what you do that I really love, financial statements are great. It's important to be up to date and current on those, but you can't change history, as the old saying goes. You focus on the future, though. You get this work done so that it's up to date, current, and so on. But then you guys look into the future and help business owners make decisions, right?
Right. That's the actual value add. I think that the real value add that we can provide with our clients and that we do provide is typically when we engage or work with a company, the initial stage is getting them up to par, getting them up to get their financial statements accurate, get their financial information accurate so they can review that information and make good decisions on the past information. And the fun stuff that happens after that is that where we actually take a look at the company and we start to look forward. I think that's where the value exists from an accounting function is you can always look back and make sure the numbers are accurate, but how do you look forward with the company from a financial perspective as far as budgeting and forecasting, as far as cash management concerns go? Cash management is a very important aspect of a lot of our clients and a lot of companies in San Diego and just across the nation. So that's where we really strive to assist them in being able to make decisions, not necessarily on what happened in the past, but what's going to happen in the future. And involved with that is, like I said before, relationships with banks, potential equity investors, and making introductions to equity partners, tax planning, preparation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, interesting phenomenon. A lot of rapidly growing businesses, the owners, if they're not paying attention, they run out of cash. They think, well, gee, my sales are going up. Things are booming. But then they wake up one morning, they have no cash left, even though they're growing and they're very profitable. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's actually a common thing. And that happens even with the best-run businesses. Cash management on growing companies is extremely important because typically what happens is sales are going like crazy, but all the cash is caught up in your accounts receivable. And if you can't maintain and manage your accounts receivable appropriately, you end up not having the cash available to pay your payables, to pay your people, and to support your growth. And so when you're supporting your growth, growing companies typically are growing at a pace where they typically have to pay out their payables or pay their people in advance of when they actually receive their receivables. And so that can be a critical issue and challenge for growing companies. And we've seen that. We see that all the time. And it's very important to make sure that you communicate appropriately with your vendors, with your customers, and manage your cash to support that growth.
And also, I think, to establish collaborative relationships, like you said, with equity investors and or traditional lenders like bankers, or even in some cases non-traditional lenders, maybe factoring companies, depending on a stage that a company's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We work with all different types of financial institutions, equity investors, and factoring companies. Our clients work with all those different types of, funding, I guess, that they would be provided. But yeah, it's just it can be a real challenge, and I think we actually have a company that has grown considerably in the food distribution business, grown at probably about a 40% clip year over year over the last couple of years.
Wow!
And the biggest challenge is the cash. They have a good relationship with their banking with their bank, and however, with the growth means that they need to continue to expand their line of credit, and so there's always a challenge with that.
I'm amazed at how some bankers are willing to accept really old financial information still these days, given that we could almost create real-time accounting. I don't know if you see the same thing or not, but I shake my head sometimes at some bankers I know who are like sitting here in August going, could I have December 31st financial statement? And I'm like, that is so far gone that I know you can use it as a baseline, but I'd be asking for the next 6 months of cash flow projections. Who cares about the past?
But yeah, the biggest challenge, I think, from the banking perspective, too, is when do you know if you actually have accurate financials?
Mm-hmm.
So you may even be getting current financials, but how do you feel comfortable that they're accurate? And that comes down to the due diligence that the bank does on its end. But what we provide on our end is that support for our clients and that relationship with the bank to make sure that the bank knows and has the security that they're getting accurate financials.
Yeah, the reliability is such a key issue. I mean, and I noticed not as many companies are getting audited or reviewed financial statements as I used to see 10, 20 years ago. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe because it's become somewhat cost prohibitive. And it's a very slow process. It tends to be finished so late after the end of the fiscal year that it's not as useful as maybe it used to be when we weren't moving in a technological age where we could exchange information so quickly. Reliability is a key issue. Do you ever get involved in setting up internal controls? In other words, the safeguarding of assets and processes that go into the creation of financial statement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we work on that a lot. We actually have several of our companies that we work with actually do need reviews and or audits. And it's funny that you mentioned that just a second ago about the timeliness of those audits, because we have some clients that their year end was December 31st, and yet the bank isn't necessarily requiring any audited financials until basically whenever they get it done, right? Before the end of the next year. So look at the audited financials. I think it's to check the box maybe, but they get the audited financials in September of 2013 for December 2012 numbers. And what does that really actually do for you, right? In the nine months in between, there could be a lot of changes. But, yeah, we work directly with our clients and their auditors to make sure that they get those things done and make sure they get them done accurately.
Yeah, we noticed in the downturn four or five years ago. Yeah, we have to take a break.
We've got to take a break right now. Hang on, everybody. We'll come right back with more It's Your Money, Your Life
Live. Drink some more wine.
Yeah, we'll have a sip of wine and hang out and hang on. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life live from La Valencia. Over to Richard to thank our wonderful sponsors.
I would love to thank all of our wonderful sponsors, starting, of course, first with, since we are live from La V, the lovely La Valencia Hotel. Again, thank you for Tammy Wong coming in. Thanks to Mark DiBella, general manager here. Very much appreciated. We love this office so much better than our old studio at KFMV.
Yeah, we get wine, we get gourmet food. What's to not
the,
like?
The water is cold and we don't have to buy it out of a vending machine. It's really sweet. So thank you, La Valencia. Just down the street from La Valencia, one of our other major sponsors, UBS, with Mr. Michael Carranza and Drew Freitas. Thanks, gentlemen. Very much appreciated. You know, Michael Carranza's son just got back from India, where he was doing a school trip. Very exciting. Some great pictures. Across the street on Prospect, Regents Bank. I guess they're going to be, yes, they are going to be next 17th. They're going to be next week's guest. I believe Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton are bringing Joe DeBona in, who owns ITAV Solutions, second fastest growing company here in San Diego. And there was a great article Monday morning, great article on, in the San Diego Union on Monday about Steve Sefton and Regents Bank and what's going on with local community banks. Tremendous article. Rich Gaines, attorney at law, best estate planner in San Diego with Family Legacy Legal. Business Valuations Limited, my good friend Carl Sheeler, who I just saw on Friday, helping businesses increase their value by mitigating and managing their risk better. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, doing cost segregation to help owners of real estate improve their cash flow. And our other favorite CPAs, and just an adjacent Kruger CPA, they're more traditional CPAs. They do tax returns and audits and reviews. Polito Epic, Don Epic CPA, and Paul Polito CPA up in Vista. And last but not least, since he's our guest tonight, Signature Analytics with Jason Kruger. And Jason, why don't you shout out how people can track you down?
Okay. They can always call me directly at 858-228-5643. Email is Jason at Signature analytics.com, and or info at signatureanalytics.com works as well.
Excellent. As a matter of fact, if they go to our website, iymoney.com, they could find you there as well. If you click on sponsors, and all of our sponsor information is right there, all their phone numbers, contact information, professional background information, and anything you need to know. And they've all been working with Richard for many, many years, and they're all tops in their field.
Yeah, and I hate it. We go, that's about 190 years of cumulative experience, because it makes me feel so old. I don't like it. We have some cool stuff up on the website. You know, I got to speak this week, too, at the Secret Knock event. Remember, Gregory was on a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big event. And I got to follow Les Brown. Can you believe it? They let me follow Les Brown, only the greatest motivational speaker in the history of the United States. And I got to follow. I told him, good job at keeping the audience engaged until the major leaguer showed up, Les. But he knows I'm a schmuck. So anyway, it was fun stuff to be able to present after Les Brown. Boy, if you've never heard Les Brown present, oh, man, is this guy amazing.
Excellent. And then Jason was mentioning at the break, he just saw a wonderful play. Where was that, Jason?
I did. My wife and I went to the La Jolla Playhouse a couple of weeks ago and saw Sideways. It was fantastic. If you've seen the movie.
Love the movie.
Very similar to the movie.
Uh-huh.
But definitely had some different aspects from the movie, and I definitely recommend it. I'm not sure if it's still playing right now. I think they've moved on, but it was great.
Yeah.
We actually had some good dinner here in La Jolla as well. And drove to the La Jolla Playhouse at the right afterwards.
So, Jason, talking about drinking wine, that leads me to internal control. How was that for a segue?
I'm ready to drink more wine.
Yeah, exactly. I know some owners who don't take care of their internal control, and they wind up drinking lots of wine to numb the pain, because what happens when you don't have good internal control? What are some of the things that go Well, some of the things that go sideways. How is that for connection?
Good segue, Richard.
Thank you very much.
The Prince of Blend.
Yeah. You know, it's something that I don't think business owners actually take seriously until it actually happens. But we've actually worked with several businesses and several business owners that have had fraud, what you would consider fraud in their business. And when what's most the fraudulent activity that's most important to small businesses is when someone actually has control of the financial aspects of the business and they begin stealing money from the company. I think that when you're talking about public companies and large corporations, fraudulent activity, the more important aspects are typically misrepresentation of financial information. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our clients are smaller, mid-sized businesses, and when someone starts taking cash from your business, then you know you have a real problem. And then fortunately, a lot of times what happens is they don't see that until everything starts to fall apart.
Have you been able to find some of the bad apples and get rid of them?
We actually have not been in a situation where we've identified it, typically because we are the internal control that eliminates that. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we've been on cases where we've been called on in several instances right after it did happen. Mm-hmm. One case was a very large case here in San Diego. The woman is actually in jail right now, and she stole several million dollars over about a 7 or 8 year period.
Isn't amazing?
And we're talking about a company that probably had about $10 million in revenues total per year, and she was taking a considerable amount. And the reason for that is because she had total control over the entire financial aspects of the business. She wrote the checks. She prepared the payroll. Did
she do the billings or handle the cash receipts?
Oh, yeah, everything. Billings, payables, cash receipts. And for business owners out there, I'll give you, the way that she did it sounds obvious. But if you don't look at it, it can be pretty bad. What happened is and what I've seen in the past is she ran things through payroll. So not only did she give herself a raise without the business owner knowing about it, but what she did actually is she submitted payroll because she's the only person that actually has her hands around it, and submitted payroll and basically gave herself an expense reimbursement. Mm. So the company, typically those are done for individuals that spend money on behalf of the company. It can be a few bucks here or there each pay period. And unfortunately, in this case, she was doing about $20,000 a pay period.
just adding a couple of zeros
as expense reimbursement. Right. So a simple check would be to check your payroll reports and payroll records and make sure that everything looks appropriate there. But in that case, that was pretty bad. But it's so important to make sure that at a minimum that there's some sort of oversight or controls over the financial aspects of your business. And a lot of small businesses may have one person that handles most of the financial aspects, but if you can implement some sort of a review process or some sort of a double checking process in many of these activities, you can eliminate 90% of the fraud.
Yeah, so internal control, I know it sounds boring, but it really, really isn't. Jason, you have a lot of really interesting and fun and exciting clients. I know some of them. Can you tell us a true story, as they say, about one of the clients that you enjoy working with?
Yeah, actually a really good client that's fun to work with us, and I don't think, in fact, he knows that I might mention this, would be Mission Brewery here in San Diego. Dan Sellis is the owner, fantastic guy. We work with Mission Brewery, and we started off about a year and a half ago, taking over at the comp. The brewery's gone has definitely increased its revenues significantly over the last year and a half, 2 years. They've been in high growth mode. They're doing fantastic, and we came on board when they were transitioning from that small brewery up into a what I would consider somewhat of a player here in San Diego. And they had the small business mentality. They had someone local office manager, or they also had an investor or a board member trying to do the accounting. And when we took over, we were able to really put some order into the financials. So we helped them in pulling together and understanding their inventory processes, understanding the cost for each type of brew and beer that they manufacture, And when you're talking about a brewery, it's actually similar to manufacturing company, because what they're doing is they're manufacturing beer. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to understand the costs included in manufacturing each type of brew. And so what we've learned, obviously, through working with Mission is that a blonde beer may be less expensive to create or manufacture than, let's say, an IPA or a double IPA. So some of those beers, they cost more to manufacture. And what we really did is put some order to the financials, help them understand their inventory and their cost processes, which in at the end of the day help them to better understand how to price their product. They've been starting to ship some products out of state, so the pricing aspect of that is very important, mm-hmm. and really gives them visibility on and clarity on their profitability as they make decisions for the company.
And without disclosing any information that might be considered personal, are they growing quickly?
Definitely. Yeah, they're definitely a growing company. Fantastic beer. I highly recommend it.
Shipwrecked.
Shipwrecked double IPA.
Double IPA. One isn't enough.
You know, the IPA, I think that San Diego is kind of known for its IPA. And
hey, we had Mayor Jerry Sanders on, and San Diego County is becoming a mecca for craft brewery. I mean, we have 72 microbreweries mm-hmm. here now.
Yeah.
We also did a
yeah.
show with Greg Cook, by the way, CEO of Stone Brewing.
Mm-hmm. But they're awesome. In the old Wonder Bread building by Petco, right?
They are. They're in by Petco. They have a fantastic tasting room. They actually, you know,
they give tours
the place
all that
is packed. Yep, the place is packed during the baseball season, so it definitely helps.
That's good because Petco's not.
Most of those people, they don't make it past the brewery over to Petco.
How smart was that, putting a microbrewery right near the ballpark? My God, you got a built-in audience.
The beer is a lot better than the baseball team, trust me.
The funny thing is San Diego is known for its IPA, so a few years ago I decided, you know, everyone's drinking this pale ales, these IPAs, mm-hmm. and I said, you know, it's really pretty hoppy for me. I thought, I'm used to the you know, more temperamental, I guess, beer. And so I made it a mission of mine to every time I went out, drink IPA, drink pale ales to acquire that taste. And now I love it. Mm-hmm. So it's something you definitely have to acquire in my mind to enjoy. But I think, I mean, it's really known in San Diego for their IPAs.
Yeah. I like pale ale myself, but anyway, but I digress.
So, Jason, your opinion. Yeah.
So, you want to talk about accounting again?
Yeah, I want to talk about accounting. Yeah, this is a business show. So, what's the big challenge that most small and medium-sized owners face? Forget about internal control, but other challenges that you see that are fairly common.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the most basic and the most basic challenge that seems, you know, obvious is actually accurate financial info.
It's usually not there, I find.
Most companies are relying on somebody that doesn't have the experience to give them the information mm-hmm. they need. And
I find the process is very slow in many cases, which really bothers mm-hmm. me, because we live in the 21st century where we can exchange information almost instantaneously. I know of applications that literally are what you might describe as real-time accounting, where you can have your books mm-hmm. and records up to date as of today.
Yep.
And I simply don't understand how anybody can run a business with financial statement that is old.
Yeah. At a minimum, we get our financials to our clients shortly after the month closed, and then we make sure that we meet with them on a regular basis to walk through that financial information, because that is how the company, that's how they're going to make decisions. Mm-hmm. A lot of business owners can make decisions with the information based on what's going through their head, but you can only get so far by managing it you know, that way, managing it by knowing what's in the bank account. To really grow your business and take it to the next level, you have to have that accurate financials. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to forecast. You have to be able to understand the cash flow and what's going to be happening in the next 13 weeks to make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be talking to bankers next week, and one of their clients coming in as part of the show, which is exciting. But are you seeing capital freeing up a little bit out there for small and medium-sized businesses, or it's still pretty tight, in your opinion?
I am, but it depends on what stage they're in. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked to a number of companies that have a great idea. They have a potentially good product, but obviously banks are – they don't want to invest in you unless you have positive cash flow and a history of positive cash flow. But even private equity, they want more of a sustainable business that actually has gone through the tough times and has built something that, you know, is cash flow positive or break even.
Yeah.
Speaking of break even,
let's take a break. Let's take a break right now. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life live from LaVie. Hang on. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back with the last segment of It's Your Money in Your Life, live from La Vie with Jason Kruger, president of Signature Analytics. SignatureAnalytics.com if you want to get over there and learn about him. But what are we going to cover in our last 5 minutes here, Richard?
We're going to move from wine tasting to beer tasting to exciting trends in accounting.
And then back again.
Yeah. And then back again.
I keep trying to push it over to the exactly. The fun side, but you keep coming back to the accounting.
Accountancy is my life. But anyway, Jason, you're a QuickBooks guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we work with QuickBooks all the time.
Can I give you my one criticism of QuickBooks?
Sure.
I don't like it because it puts the client at the center of the accounting process, and I believe that the accountant should be at the center of the accounting process. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword. QuickBooks is made to allow individuals that do not know anything about accounting to actually handle and do their books. The problem with that is that when one thing is entered incorrectly, it never gets corrected. And then if it's consistently entered the same way incorrectly, then you end up with a quite a cleanup project in a few months or years in some cases. And from an accounting standpoint, it's actually challenging to understand how QuickBooks is making the entries in the background, because as accountants, we understand things through journal entries.
Yeah, there's poor internal control.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Anyone can go in, make a change
right.
At any time. And so you may close a month, and then someone can go in and make a change, and all of a sudden your balance sheet's different.
There's a new product called Zero out in the marketplace. I want you to look at it at some point. I'll hook you up with one of the reps because I think it puts the accountant back at the center of the accounting process. And they have a great marketing logo. They say they sell beautiful accounting software. And I think accounting should be beautiful.
Yep, yep.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we want to do what's best for our clients. And if we can recommend accounting software that works for them, we want to be able to do that.
Plus, competition is a good thing.
It is.
But I'm not here to plug Zero on the show. I just find it interesting that now there's finally some competition with QuickBooks. Now, I've been a big QuickBooks fan for many, many years, too, but you always have to keep an open mind about what's coming down the highway that's new and different that might be a little bit more innovative. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are growing rapidly, right? Haven't you been hiring?
We are. We've actually hired 4 full-time people in the last 5 months. Mm-hmm. Most recently, within the last month, we hired I'll throw out their names because I told them I might mention them if they happen to be listening. They haven't fallen asleep by now. Ryan Selhorn was a senior manager at one
Grant Thornton. I knew him.
At Grant Thornton, yep. A large public accounting firm here. Justin Chaitin, we just hired as our director of sales. He's done fantastic already. And those were just in the last 2 months. So we've been since July 1st. So we've been keeping up with the demand, and I think the biggest thing and the biggest challenge is making sure that quality is number one. I think we've seen some of our competitors outgrow their staffing situation, mm-hmm. and quality has not been there. And for us, it's most important to continue to build that infrastructure to support our clients.
And you've got an opening for a position. You might as well shout it out because we have a lot of accountants that listen to this show.
Yeah, we do actually. We are heavily looking to hire someone in the what I would consider a senior accountant role. Or accounting manager role, someone that has, I came from a public accounting background, so in my mind it'd be someone that has about 4 years or so of experience in a public accounting background. Definitely looking for somebody that is able to multitask, work with different personalities, and be able to communicate well, because that's what we do.
Outstanding.
Yeah, people think accounting is about numbers, but it's really about words, I tell people. It's about communicating what the numbers mean to people, because otherwise business owners have a really hard time making decisions without that communication.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes us, I think, most successful, is if we're able to communicate and work with different types of personalities, because all business owners are different, all companies are different, and to be able to adapt and work with different personalities is what gets us where we need to get. And
Jason, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. Jason's been a pleasure to have you with us. Richard, you have a great week. Get out there and order. So What's Your Play by Richard Musio, folks. And thanks to Dan Noon in the studio for making this sound so great. And thank you to Craig Blanke, our account executive.
And don't forget Tammy.
And Tammy Wong, of course, wine director here. Thanks to her and Mark DiBello. And Dave Sniff, our programming genius at KFMB. Thank you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday night live from La Vie. Take care.